You Better You Bet on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
Monday Night Football tonight in Tampa Bay. The Rams and the Bucks. Our Power Hour, presented by Bet Rivers, starts right now. Please, Tyler, lay down that dope-ass beat. All right, we'll get to the picks in a second here, but need to tell you about our sponsor at Bet Rivers, because you know other sites, they offer a big bonus, but then they make you play 10, 25, or more times to actually get your cash. You know what that is? Bullshit. With Bet Rivers, it's simple. You play once and it's yours. Always. Got the industry-leading play-by-play betting options, point-by-point instant betting, at-bat-by-at-bat, shot-by-shot, always a game on to watch at BetRivers.com. Soccer, tennis, basketball, hockey, Ken Barkley's favorite, table tennis. You know, Ken was growing up in Naugatuck, Connecticut. He was a huge fan of table tennis. Loved table tennis. He's still a huge table tennis guy. Tells us about it all the time off the air. It's actually kind of gotten a little annoying. Players earn rewards with every bet and can redeem earned bets for free bets. Who doesn't love a free bet and more in Bet Rivers' unique bonus store? They got the huge match bonus with only one-time playthrough to turn your bonus money into cash. So bet with the trusted team that puts you first, because when you win at Bet Rivers Sportsbook, they pay fast. And now it's even faster with Rush Pay instant approval for withdrawals. You can chat with their helpful customer service support staff about how to increase your authority level. And remember, when you submit your first deposit with Bet Rivers, you'll receive a 100% match up to $250, all at BetRivers.com. And if you're not in a legalized sports betting market with Bet Rivers, you can also sign up for their free $5,000 weekly pick'em contest at BetRivers.net. Fast payout approval, superb customer service, your hometown sportsbook. That, of course, is Bet Rivers. And over at Bet Rivers, Ken Barkley, the line for tonight's Monday Night Football game between Tom Brady and the Bucks, Jared Goff and the Rams, sitting here with the, I gotta tell you, the Bucks are a 4.5-point favorite, minus 220 on the money line, Rams plus 190, total here of 48. So Tampa -4.5, total of 48. We'll get to the pool of props and wade through the pool of props momentarily here, but let's talk sides, total, and derivatives here with the Rams and Tampa Bay.
The place I'd like to start here is the sides, because I think the total lends to a lot of interesting discussion about, I have a couple of kind of theories about what might be valuable in the game. This is a really, first of all, I think this market's actually like pretty well lined. I think there's maybe a tiny edge on the side. I really have no idea if there's an edge on the total, but I have a couple theories. Derivatives seemed to make perfect sense. And then props we'll obviously get to with you and I discussing them at the end of the half hour. Side-wise, any handicap for me of an NFL game starts with, what is my number on the game and what is the current number in the market? We talked about this game on Monday, and the Rams were +3.5, and I thought the right number was 3. And I have some Rams 3.5 from Monday, much like I had some Denver +3 from Monday that it wound up apparently being way good, even though I really couldn't have sold it off fast enough if given the opportunity. So I have some Rams. My number in the game is basically between 2.5 and 3. I think 3 is the right number for this game, and the number is currently more than 3. So, you know, that's where I start. And then in addition to just what is my number, okay, are there any things happening? Are there any, especially injuries, or is there something else going on? Is there a monsoon headed for the stadium that would cause the spread to be different than what I would expect it to be? And honestly, like, there obviously is not a quarterback injury. There's not a skill position player injury. There are very few injuries in the game. There's really only one injury, that matters. And it might end up being a significant deal. And we'll talk about that in a second. But like, I couldn't come up with a reason not to bet the Rams. That's why I bet them on Monday. If you have no position, obviously the number is improved. I still like the Rams in the game. And this is very straightforward. This isn't, this team beat this team and then this team beat this team. So, whatever, like some kind of convoluted analysis. It's literally just my number in the game is less. My number in the game is still less, and so I like the Rams. That's kind of where it begins for me.
I like the Rams as well. I think the Rams can easily win this football game, and I'll take it a step further. I like the under in this game, and I know we're going to talk about total momentarily here, but there are two major injuries on both offensive lines that I think require a good amount of discussion. So for the Rams, Left tackle Andrew Whitworth is out. It looked like he would be lost for the season last week when he went down against Seattle in the Seahawks game. He will not be out for the season, apparently, but he obviously will not be playing tonight. That is a huge loss for the Rams, the anchor of their offensive line and the guy that protects the blind side of Jared Goff up against a good Buccaneers pass rush and a good Buccaneers defense in general. And for Tampa, Ali Marpet continues to be out with that concussion. And it didn't really present problems for Tampa last week against the Carolina Panthers and their toothless pass rush. Well, I mean, unless they're playing the Lions, in which case they look like the 2000 Ravens. But like, Carolina got no pressure really last week on Tom Brady. And we saw the New Orleans Saints with 8 sacks yesterday on Matt Ryan. Like, the Saints have all of a sudden evolved into a defense that's, like, worth paying attention to. Like, they're playing very well. Cam Jordan is excellent. Onyemata is excellent. Trey Hendrickson's tied for the NFL lead in sacks. So they were able to expose Ali Marpet's injury in that Sunday night game a couple weeks ago. Well, when you take away one of the best interior guards in football, and you're going up against the Lawrence Taylor of nose tackles and Aaron Donald, with a quarterback who can't move in Tom Brady, and I love Tom Brady, can't move, and has never dealt well with pressure up the interior, just pop in Super Bowls 42 and 46 for confirmation of that fact. I think that there are game wreckers on both sides of the ball here, and I think that Aaron Donald absolutely wrecks this game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, can kill single-handedly almost what they're going to try to do offensively here. So I look at this total of 48. I think both offenses are going to have a hard time scoring. We can talk about that when we get to the player props. I think this number should be Tampa minus 3. Now, you want to tell me that Marpet's healthy playing in this game and no Whitworth? We can have a conversation about the Bucs at a number above 3. 3.5, maybe even 4, fine. But for this number to be 4.5, Ken, with Marpet out and Aaron Donald on the other side on that defensive line, that's where I think I personally run into problems with this line being what it is, and why I also gravitate towards the Rams at any number above 3. So 3.5, good with me. 4, good with me. 4.5, Ken, the current number at Bet Rivers, also good with yours truly.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a logical counterargument to anybody, if anybody pushes back, where it's like, well, you know, whichever angle you choose to take, well, I like Tampa because Whitworth's out. Okay, like, was Marpet not like one of the single-handedly most important offensive linemen in a game result that's happened in the last season, basically? And he is also out. So it's like, you know, if each person has a significant part of the offensive line out, like, does it affect the handicap of the side? Maybe not quite as much. You know, I think both are very, very impactful. I think the total, which I think you're correct on, is where we would see that come into play a little bit more. So here's kind of my thing on the total. So we both like the Rams. We have a game, and I just, again, this is how I start. This will sound broken record-y, but this is how I start all of our primetime analysis. We have a game in perfect weather that is being totaled like a below-average NFL scoring game. And that's kind of interesting. It is line below average, despite the fact that Jared Goff and Tom Brady are the two quarterbacks. And by the way, they're better than, like, God, half the quarterbacks that played yesterday. One of the worst Sundays, I think, of quarterback play I'd seen in a long time. So that's okay. You know, obviously the defenses are what's driving the number, but like, the number is reflecting that. Like, the number is reflecting that the defenses are awesome because it's looking at these two quarterbacks and it's looking at perfect weather and it's still coming up with 48.5 in the market. So, like, you know, I wouldn't necessarily bet under just because of the defense. Here's one of my theories. Tampa presents a lot of unique offensive challenges. Again, like, the Donald V middle of Bucs offensive line could wreck everything. But Tampa presents a lot of offensive challenges that a lot of the Rams opponents this season have not presented. So like, the Rams are basically, this total is being created by the Rams yards per play numbers and other defensive metrics, which are staggering in a number of games that they played this year. They played the Giants, allowed 4.5 yards per play. Again, a game that was low scoring and close, but the Rams defense was exceptional. They allowed 2 yards per play to Washington. Now, again, that's Washington, but like, 2 yards, it is almost impossible to average that low of a number of yards per play in an NFL game. Again, tip of the cap to the Rams in that game. Held
maybe
the Niners
like 1950.
Globally.
Like, if they were playing the Decatur Staleys, like, maybe.
Sure.
Maybe we could get there.
Sure. Who then turned into the Chicago Bears, who they also played this year, and allowed 4.6 yards per play in that game. And then you play the Dolphins, and again, like, we know what happened in that game. The Dolphins, like, turnovered and special teamsed their way to a win, and the Rams allowed 3 yards. So, like, these metrics are creating an insane profile of what a defense is. And a lot of those accolades are deserved. I mean, Ramsey might be the best corner and Donald's the best defensive lineman. So it's like, I mean, all of this is sort of well-deserved. At the same time, like, what is a team this year that the Rams have played that presents the types of offensive challenges? Again, like, not just one elite wide receiver, ton of available targets all over the field. You know, multi running backs who sort of do different things. You know, elite accurate quarterback. Like, what are teams that they played this year that present this challenge? So even in this most recent run, like, Seattle is interesting, but Seattle doesn't necessarily do the same thing. Seattle has, like, two extremely elite wide receivers, and Jalen Ramsey destroyed one of them. So, like, but they still passed that test, so that's interesting. A lot of the other games, Miami, Chicago, Niners, Washington, Giants, Philly, like, that's it's like playing checkers and chess in terms of what Tampa presents offensively in this game. I look at that Buffalo game, and I think that's a
little bit... I was just going to say.
So that's the anchor of kind of this theory is, like, the only team, you could throw Seattle in there because they put up a lot of numbers, but the only team that kind of like does some of the things that Tampa does, wants to spread you out three wide, four wide, tight end, you know, like, and really throw the ball on you, was Buffalo, who, again, had some effectiveness running the ball in that game, but massacred the Rams defense in that game. It's the only team the entire season. Again, entering week 12, we're at the end of week 11. It's the only team the entire season that the Rams have allowed an above league average yards per play to. So I just think that's like a little bit interesting. Again, like it makes sense why the total is what it is, right? It makes sense because the defenses are phenomenal. It makes sense because of all the things I just read you about what the Rams have done. Even if you want to argue the offensive line injuries further add to why the total is being kind of restrained under the league average. But from a matchup standpoint, it was just interesting that like the only comp for who the Rams have played this year that even kind of fits is one that they struggled with tremendously. So I found that a little bit interesting.
But like, so here's what I would say to that. And they did sack Goff four times, or excuse me, sack Josh Allen four times in that game. But like, yep. Allen at least can move.
Oh, mobile, no question. Yep.
Like, Tom Brady can't move.
Right. Again, that's the closest to a comp. It's not like that's apples and apples. But like, at the same time, I think we have to acknowledge that like, the Rams are building a defensive profile a lot of the time off of some like very substandard offensive units. And that doesn't necessarily make sense that we would apply that to what they're going to face tonight.
So what do you like in the game total wise?
I mean, right now, nothing, but like this was headed in a direction. This is why this has been very annoying. Is like there were 47 and a halfs for like a tiny bit earlier today. And I was like, oh man, maybe like everyone's going to come in on the under on game day and like this is going to get dragged down a little bit more and then I would bet the over. My number in the game is 48 and I had like 48.8 basically. So I think right now I can't bet it, but like under's still getting steamed a little bit. There's a couple 48s. If it was 47 and a half, I'd think about betting the over. That's probably how I would attack.
So but no play for you likely on this total?
Not right now. 48 and a half, not touching it.
Well, okay, so just trying to like, so let's think this out and this will kind of go into the pool of props, right? When we talk about that. So Brady spreads things out, right? We acknowledge that Donald could be the absolute game record. He's not going to wreck every single play, but like he could like, you know, even if he gets two sacks in the game, that's really going to screw up what Tampa tries to do, right? He's going to kill two drives basically, right? So you put Jalen Ramsey on Evans. Now I think that opens things up potentially for Antonio Brown. And I think the guy that it really opens things up for potentially is Chris Godwin over the middle of the field. I'm also not really convinced that Tampa is going to be able to run the ball in this game. So look, maybe it's a game where they just come out four wide and Scotty Miller is the fourth receiver or Gronk essentially serves as the fourth receiver and they throw the ball on every play in this game, which could be interesting provided that they can keep Brady upright. And that's kind of where I keep getting tripped up. So maybe I just won't do anything with this total here. I think that's kind of like you've presented me with enough talking points here that I think are interesting here, where I don't really feel comfortable putting money on the under of this game, although that's my lean. So I don't think I'm going to do anything with the total of this game, and it doesn't sound like you are either. Like what would you need in order to bet the over?
I think 47 and a half minus 110 is like good enough. That's like where I would start thinking about coming in. So like I also don't think we're going to see that. Because again, like, the totals tend to kind of gravitate around my number. My number's a little over 48 and a half. You want to argue the offensive line injuries give you a little bit of a boost there in terms of dropping the total, rather. It wouldn't really be a boost, but like, you know, that it just kind of slides it in one direction. Okay, cool. But like, I mean, like I said, come in and like, I actually think the market for this game, you know, the side is a little big for me, but I actually think the market for this game is like, not easy to come up with, but very accurate. And like, I don't think there's a lot of attack points when you have the only thing we can talk about in terms of attack points in the game is the effect of the two offensive line injuries. And, like, that's it. Like, everyone else has been there forever, and we have a ton of data points on each team. Like, that makes it really tough to be, like, the number's wrong, or, like, the market is not viewing things correctly. Like, it's just these two offensive line injuries. Like, that's the only thing that creates instability. And I think, you know, maybe that leads to a slightly lower scoring game. Okay, the total's a pretty low total, below league average, and has bet under, you know, by about a half point. Like, all of that's, all those gears in the machine seem to be working correctly. I think that's what makes it so difficult.
Well, here would be my counter to what you're saying. If you lean towards the over, which it sounds like you do, but you need a certain number in order to bet it. If that's right. The case, and you've presented a good piece of evidence here, or like a good argument, maybe it doesn't turn out to be correct, but at least like it's not something that a million holes can be punched in, unless Aaron Donald really wants to just punch it.
You can punch those holes.
Right. Punch a hole through it. Love punching holes. Love it. Why don't you bet Tampa? Because if it's going to be a high-scoring game, like, can the Rams score to keep up on this Bucs defense?
Do you really think there's correlation between a side? Because I this is one of my early when I
don't know that the Rams can score a lot of points in this game. I don't know that the Rams can score a lot in this game. So I am assuming that Tampa also can't score a lot in this game.
Why don't you think the Rams can score a lot?
Well, I think that if I don't think no one really runs the ball well on Tampa. So whether it's one of the three-headed poo-poo platter, right, of Akers, Brown, and Henderson, we'll get to them when we talk about our props here. So we like the Rams, the Bucs boundary cornerbacks, right, Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean. Josh Reynolds has turned into a pretty nice player, right? He's been their air yards guy. We had his over last week. I think his matchup is complicated this week. Like, he's not going to be able to do, like, have, like, the career-esque game like he had against Seattle last week against their terrible secondary. It's a different beast going up against this Bucs secondary. Robert Woods has proven to be a very hit-or-miss player over the balance of the season. Like, a good gadget guy, like, and he gets his yards on handoff sometimes, but, like, he hasn't been, like, the 100, 120-yard receiver this year. And he's going up against, again, really good boundary cornerback. So maybe Sean McVay's game plan here is just to pepper the middle of the field. And maybe it's Everett and Higbee, and maybe it's a lot of Cooper Kupp, but I think it actually will be a good amount Cooper Kupp. But if the Rams are going to have difficulty running the ball, right, especially without Whitworth there to help anchor this offensive line, if they're not going to be able to run the ball with effectiveness, which I don't think they will against a very good Buccaneers run defense, and they're not going to be able to really stretch the field on the perimeter because of the two really good cornerbacks here, I'm not saying that they're going to get shut out, but like, how are the Rams going to put up a big number in this game?
Right. I don't have a good, like, again, this is where our handicapping techniques diverge. Like, I have no idea, but I also don't have to in order to bet the side, right? Like, I can take
a
big picture.
Hey, listen, here's the good news. Here's the good news. We're on the same side. Maybe we're different how it's going to get there, but we're on the same side here with the Rams.
Right. I would have said, how does 50% Drew Lock win outright against Miami yesterday? And sure enough, there it was.
Doesn't matter. And you know what? I bet the Broncos. So God bless.
Right. Right. How is Houston going to stop the run against the Patriots? Well, the Patriots actually weren't able to run the ball almost at all in the game, and they got down two touchdowns. But, so they stopped running.
Here's how you stop the run. You score a ton of points, and they have to throw the ball. That's how you stop
the
run.
You're up 21-10 in the third quarter. That's how.
Hey, and guess what? I bet the Texans, and we won.
Oh, great teaser legs yesterday, too. All those games. Really,
it was great.
Teaser.
And by the way, we'll talk about Carson Wentz and the Eagles, but at least they covered their teaser leg.
That was a close one.
All right, this is going to be the last thing that we'll talk about before we get to the props here. So we have no play on the total. Ken leans towards the over. I lean towards the under, whatever. We both like the Rams. So yesterday was a great day for many reasons, but like everyone liked the Patriots. I feel like we liked the Texans. Everyone definitely liked the Dolphins. We liked the Broncos. Everyone loved the Lions. And again, you get the credit for this one, man. You had the Panthers. Everyone loved the Falcons. You were on the Saints. I didn't bet that game. Does it make you feel confident, nervous, or neither that everyone tonight apparently loves the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I just don't know if it, I mean, I guess I would say it doesn't matter, but it does matter a little bit because the numbers come up. Like, I think you get a little bit of a more valuable number, you know, just based on, again, if that's true. So I'm going under the premise that what you're saying is true, and I haven't looked and like measured, like, oh, well, the public is huge on Tampa, and that's driving this number from 4 to 4.5.
I haven't seen one person make a case for the Rams.
I mean, which is weird, I guess. I mean, Rams closed 3 against Seattle last week. They're a 4.5 dog to Tampa. Like, Does that intuitively seem correct to anybody? So maybe it's the Whitworth impact, and that'd be one place where maybe I'm making a mistake, is like, okay, like Marpet's absence matters, but like I am undervaluing the extent to which Whitworth's absence matters. That is a way that I could be wrong tonight. That is also not generally how I do my handicapping, is like individual D end versus offensive tackle matchups. I don't go that granular. Maybe that's a mistake too, but like that's a way I could be wrong. This one's really easy. Sometimes I feel like we come on and we make this like grand magisterial 15-minute case for something, like, well, you got to remember this, and you got to remember this, and you got to remember this, and then we spin it back around, and it's like this, you know, not a narrative, but it's like this sort of style of handicapping that's extremely verbal. And like I feel like Patriots Jets total, we did that. Well, Patriots Jets total, we did that, and it wasn't just that like the number was off; it was like it required a lot of analysis. Like I think betting the side in this game is just about what the number is and what my number is. It's tough to take that and turn it into more. Yeah.
I agree.
It's tough to make more out of it from a side standpoint. Props, we could have, I think, and total, we did too. We could have a more lengthy discussion.
All right, so Kenny and I are on the Rams. No play on the total. So let's get to the player props here, gentlemen. The prop king is ready to make his appearance.
Now approaching the betting window, it is your prop king, Nick Kostos. All hail King Kostos.
All hail King Kostos.
Tell you, it was a good way for the prop king to end an NFL Sunday last night with the both tight end overs. Shout out to Darren Waller, and shout out to my guy Travis Kelce for getting that done. So, Ken, let's wade. We put on ye royal trunks. Now, you have to wear ye royal sunscreen because you are ye fair skins. Oh, I have ye olive complexion, and the prop king does not wear sunscreen. So the prop king...
Yeah, ye vacations don't go so well for ye.
So we wade into the pool of props, and we will extract the props that we find valuable for tonight. So Ken Barkley, I present to you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 props for tonight. Only five for tonight. Are you ready?
Yes, please.
Let us begin at the quarterback position, where if I am going to be consistent with what I said literally 10 minutes ago, then I kind of have to be led to this conclusion, right? I kind of think both Goff and Brady go under with their passing yards tonight. Both are priced nearly at 300 yards. Goff 279.5, Brady 285.5. The first two props in ye old prop pool that I present for scrutiny are the Goff under passing yards and the Brady under passing yards.
So here's why this is here's why this market is just like a little funny to me. These numbers, what'd you say Goff was again? I see Brady.
279.5, Brady 285.5.
Like, it is weird to see a total this low and passing yards numbers that high. Like, something seems incongruent there a little bit. Like, again, just thinking about what other passing yards props are listed at, and you know, like, this total is basically like 48-ish right now. Like, Miami-Denver, those passing yards props were like 210. Jets Chargers, like Flacco's number was gruesome. They both just seem like, and I know why they are what they are. I mean, it's because of the names, I think. But, and obviously, like, I think Tampa gets a lot more yards from their passing game than their running game and in the average game. Both, again, if you think the total's correct, then I kind of agree with you, like, you out there. If you think the total's correct, I think both unders have to be valuable then, if that's true. Like, these three just don't seem to fit together the right way.
All right, so what do you want to bet them or no?
Not really, but I'm the one who likes the over a little bit, and you like the under. So,
all right, so let's move past these two in ye old prop pool, and we wade over.
Do you have any more? Do you have completions written down too?
You know, I don't. I mean, I can get them. I don't really.
I have them. I have the number.
Okay. Yeah. What do you got?
Well, Brady's 25.5, and I knew it was going to be really high because my first thought was, I think I want to bet it. Let me see what it is. And then Goff is 24.5. Like, is either team going to be able to run the ball very well in this game? Are both quarterbacks going to be under pressure and know going into the game that they're going to be under pressure?
I would guess yes.
Right. Doesn't that lend itself to, like, it's almost like completions, overs, yards, unders.
Sounds like a hashtag to me.
So when Goff's like 23 for 32 for
158.
It's like, well, yeah, but if we're doing yards under, it has to be way more than that. But yeah, something like that. Like, again, like, this is, there's a little too, probably too much assuming going on in there. But my first thought was like, again, just listening to you, this is how you handicap, and this is not how I handicap. And you're kind of going through what you think the game is going to be like, almost like a horse race. Like, this horse is going to get out to a lead, then this is going to happen. Same kind of thing. Like, as you're saying this in my head, I'm just like, well, how is Brady not just completing like 30 passes in this game? Like, how is that not happening? Just based on, again, this is based on your on-field handicap of what's happening.
I mean, he gets put on his ass. Rams defense, like, is really,
like,
good.
It's not like they don't know Marpet's out. It's not like they don't know Aaron Donald's good. So, like, this wasn't like an in-game injury. You know what I mean?
Can you bring up the Bucs Saints box score and how many passes Brady completed in that game?
Yep. Well, that was, first of all, there was weather. Second of all, didn't they pull him?
I think he played like at the end, maybe Gabbert came in, but like Brady played like the vast majority of that game.
I'd almost want to know, this is going to take more time to figure out. I'd almost want to know like how many first half completions he had. That almost might be like a better number. The fourth quarter of that game was like both teams wanting to get the fuck out of there. So you're just not going to get, I think, the number.
But they were trying to score and like Brady kept like throwing interceptions.
So for the game, Brady finished 28 for 40. That's not right. That's the wrong game. I'm in the wrong game. Never mind.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's always how we want to start. All right, I have the right game. I guarantee it wasn't 28 for 40. 22 for 38. I mean, that's a miserable game. He finished four shy, which is a lot, but they also ran the ball five times in the game. Four, actually.
Well, but yeah, but why?
Right, because they got down 21-0.
Well, and he's running for his fucking life.
Right. Well, that's not why they didn't run the ball. Sorry, you meant why did he miss so many passes? Why did he have a miserable game? I mean, they didn't run the ball because they literally got down 21-0 in the first quarter. So.
Oh, you think he ran the ball four times or they ran the ball four times?
No, the team. The team had four carries for 9 yards in the game.
Yeah, tough to run when you're down 21-0.
Four carries in a fucking game. Four.
Pretty incredible. All right, we'll come back to the quarterbacks here because we have a couple of things we got to do in the next couple of minutes.
Yep, that's fine.
The next two props in ye olde prop pool. So if we're going to operate, again, under the hypothesis, right, that both quarterbacks could be under pressure tonight, which I think is going to happen. We talked about with the Rams. I think this one's pretty easy. We like Carlton Davis. We like Jamel Dean. We know that the Bucs can be had in the slot. The Rams' best wide receiver and the most targeted wide receiver by a good amount is Cooper Kupp. So if Goff's under pressure, I think that he's going to go to his binky. His binky's Cooper Kupp. Kupp is being priced 59.5. I present the over for Cooper Kupp. And in the same breath, if we come around to the other side here, if we operate under the assumption, and I think it's a safe one, that Jalen Ramsey is on Mike Evans. Now, I do not want to go under Mike Evans' yards. I'm not interested in doing that. But I think that it stands to reason that Evans will probably get less targets, maybe, than Antonio Brown on the outside. Yeah. And more importantly, Chris Godwin in the slot. I think Godwin is going to get his customary 6-7 targets in this game, maybe even more if Donald's breathing down his neck and Brady's under duress and under pressure. So if I were forced to choose one of the two, Godwin or Antonio Brown, if you're telling me like it's ideal conditions, like let's say like the Panthers game was this week, and Antonio Brown had like last week. Let's assume the Panthers game wasn't last week. The Panthers game is being played tonight. And Antonio Brown had last week under the old belt. I would choose Antonio Brown. Because another week of prep with Brady. Brady loves Antonio Brown. He obviously wants to get him the ball. But because it's not, I feel more comfortable with Chris Godwin. So the next two props in ye olde prop pool. Kupp over 59.5. Godwin over 60.5. Your thoughts?
Kupp in. So are you, how, again, because this is like, I'm I'm like the student here, so I don't know some of these things. There's like documented evidence that the weakness for the Tampa defense is slot receivers. That's like a thing.
Yes.
Like that
yes.
Was, okay. So that's somebody's not going to be like, I don't, you know, that's not true. Or like, there's no evidence of that. There's a lot of evidence.
Oh, no, it
that.
Is. It is. I mean, look, they're not like, it's like the worst fucking team in the league against slot cornerbacks, but their slot cornerback, Sean Murphy Bunting, is not good. Like, Cooper Kupp should cook him.
Okay. I'm in on Kupp. Have no issues there. Totally like it. Like it very much. 59 and a half, right?
That's right.
Okay. Like that. In on that. I don't know if I feel comfortable saying where Tampa's targets are going to be distributed. I don't know if I feel good about that at all.
I do think it's a little bit of a leap of faith, but I think it's maybe it's not strong enough to place a bet, but I do think that it's like rooted in like a pretty good thought that
where's
Brady
the,
under duress.
Sure. Where's the evidence that Ramsey is going to cover Evans?
Why, I mean, I can't.
Does Ramsey ever take a half the field? Does he ever Richard Sherman it, or does
No. Like Ramsey last week was on Metcalf the entire game. Like I would say it's like a very strong probability that Ramsey's on Evans. I would be pretty surprised. Okay. I can't guarantee anything, but like that would be like my strong assumption would be Ramsey on Evans.
Okay. How did Lockett do last week?
He went over his receiving yards prop by a yard, 66 yards.
This all makes sense to me. I understand where this is coming from. It's tougher for me. Like Tampa's just got weight. They got just a ton of weapons to just have it be like, well, it's not Evans, therefore blank. It's like, it's not Evans, therefore it could be all of them. You know what I mean? That's not saying bet every over. I'm saying like, I can't predict where they're going to go.
He catches like six balls or more every single game. Like, so if Ramsey's on Evans, Antonio Brown's volatile. Like, Brown could go 10 for 130. He could go 4 for 40. I think Godwin is, like, the one that we can bank on. The safest option.
Okay.
Doesn't mean we should bet. And I'm okay with leaving it on the cutting room floor. But I do think, like, out of all their pass catchers, he's the most, like, the one that I think you could feel the best about would be Godwin. Maybe you don't feel good about any of them enough to accurately project. But I think he would be the one that you would feel best about, you meaning the royal you in the prop kingdom.
Right. I mean, it makes sense to me. I just think it's like a lot of assuming going on where the target share is going to go. So I don't, again, you want to play it? Again, we're on opposite sides of the total. If you want to play over, great.
I'm not going
to
bet this
total. That makes a lot more sense to me. That makes a lot more sense to me. Lockett, by the way, last week. So Metcalf gets taken out of the game.
66 yards, right?
Yeah. He got targeted 9 times, though. 5 catches for 66. By far, like double the target share of anybody else. Just, I'm trying to support your point a little. Right, exactly.
Oh, I'm in.
Right, I know you're in.
And I'm starting Godwin in a must-win fantasy game, so I need it. Last one that I'd like to present.
Got it.
Because we don't have a ton of time here.
Problem?
Okay. So if we look at, I actually don't have this in front of me. I can try and find it here. But Rams anytime touchdown props today. Oh. I kind of wish I had written this down so I could kind of like give like the full like pomp and circumstance leading up to it. And like, I just know this is going to take fucking forever to bring up because why would anything load quickly? Okay.
Why don't you make the case and I'll get the price.
All right. Darrell Henderson to score a touchdown today is plus 140. Malcolm Brown to score a touchdown is plus 180. Cam Akers to score a touchdown is plus 500. Cam Akers led the Rams backfield in touches last week. The Rams told you what they feel about Malcolm Brown and Darrell Henderson when they took Cam Akers in the second rounds of the draft out of Florida State. And I know Akers has been a bit of a disappointment thus far in his rookie season. They also haven't needed him when you've got Henderson running well at points and Brown running well at points. Akers, 10 touches last week, led Rams running backs. So maybe Malcolm Brown, maybe they're going to give the ball to Brown at the goal line. Maybe. Maybe they'll give it to Henderson. Maybe they won't, though. I think there's enough unknown here where, given the price disparity, that I maybe be willing to put like half a unit down on Cam Akers plus 500 anytime touchdown. Because I think like if you told me that Akers was like plus 300, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not really interested. But like he led them in touches last week.
Yeah, I'm in the whole way on this. I like it.
All right.
That's the one I like the most, I think. Actually.
I did say to you off. I think I said off air, right? I've got an anytime touchdown prop I think you're going to be interested in.
Yeah, I just like the capping methodology of it. I actually think it makes a ton of sense.
All right, so where are we at here with the royal props for tonight? We're in on Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, Kupp over yards, 59.5. Okay. Acres anytime touchdown plus 500, and then you and I both bet the.
So we don't want to do any passing props.
Well, we have quarterback wise.
Yeah.
Brady completions number is already so high. That's what I would have bet. It's already so high.
Completions over, yards under. It's a great hashtag.
The day that we start doing these segments
bets for the hashtag
is probably the day that we have jumped the shark a little bit, just to be honest.
All right. So we can leave those, even though I think I have to try and approach.
We presented
this,
the case to people. That's the most important thing. We presented the case.
If it's a Sunday game at 1 p.m., I'm probably only playing Cooper Kupp and Godwin and Akers. Right. I probably play Akers also.
Right. Let's do that. Let's bet the Rams.
I want to play Godwin too.
You play Godwin too. Do you want to play it? Do I hear Antonio Brown?
If Brown has like 9 for 180 and Godwin has 3 for 30, I'm going to be really upset for multiple reasons. All right.
Again, that's part of the reason we're not betting him is I have no idea where the targets are going. I don't know if they know where the targets are going.
But he gets targets every, that's why I'm not trying to convince you. I'm like more saying this for me. Like Godwin gets targets every game. Like he's the one guy that I think you can bank on that's not volatile. Who's going to get the targets?
Do you, can I give you one last thing? A little tiny note looking forward. One other reason we should want the Rams to play well tonight, maybe win the game outright. My early number for Kansas City, Tampa is not what the market is offering. Let's put it that way.
Kansas City 3 on the road?
Yeah, at Tampa. My number in the game is 1.
Okay.
And we get Marpet back for that game too, probably.
Great. Let's go. Well, Rams will hopefully win 40-0. Or for Ken's over 49-0. All right, so Rams against the spread, Kupp over yards, Akers anytime touchdown plus 500. And you know what? I want to play Chris Godwin. So maybe I'll come out here and I'll regret it.
Play all the Bucks overs you want. Yeah, let's do it.
It's true though that I think he's going to. Kupp is the one that I feel great about.
Play it. Let's see what happens. You could be totally right. I think I'm the one that thinks Brady completions is actually not awful.
All right, so let's do Godwin. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to hate myself. So that's a Nick Costos bet.
That is a Costos bet.
That's a Nick Costos bet. That's not a show.
You're part of the show. Some would say the biggest part of the show. Some would say that. Some have said it.
Rams plus 3.5. Cooper Kupp over yards. Akers plus 500 anytime touchdown is show bets. And then the Nick Costos solo bet will be Chris Godwin over 60.5 receiving yards. May God have mercy on my soul.